We might have our first sector that could be hit by a fair pay agreement. The first union is hoping that an agreement signed by thousands of Countdown workers could well form the basis of the first FPA. Ben Peterson is from the first union. He's with us. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How does this turn? So this is an agreement between workers, Countdown workers, and their boss. How does that then become an FPA? Have you got more than 10% of retail workers here?
We've certainly got more than 10% of Countdown workers and more than the supermarket sector we would be looking at. But the what we've got is the collective agreement at Countdown. That's the union agreement that's negotiated, which members are voting on at present and in the final stages of that. That agreement has really significant increases, such as the living wage and significant pay increases and other protections. The issue at the moment is while we can achieve that at best practice employers, there's some more feudal operators that are very hostile to paying the kind of wage increases that are appropriate and necessary in the current cost of living crisis. And the fair pay agreement process gives us a tool that we can take best practice employers like Countdown and give us a tool to apply that to a whole sector so that they're not being disadvantaged by more ruthless operators that are willing to undercut good wages for their own profit.
Okay. So if this affects others, if it becomes an FPA and affects others, who would it affect?
Well, this would become, once we get the fair pay agreement process kicking along, that will affect all supermarket workers. So that would be, we'd be able to take our best practice things like we see at Countdown. Or,
Okay. Let's go through them. Pack and Save would be affected.
Pack and Save would be affected.
New World. Costco.
Smaller operas. The Costco, you're probably talking a Farrow Fresh and your Moore Wilsons, and then there's some smaller regional sort of operators.
Foursquare?
Your supermarkets. We're sort of getting into that sort of space. Yeah, we're looking at supermarkets and superettes, not so much a corner dairy, like an owner-operator sort of store is not a Pack and Save. We'd be talking at your major supermarkets.
Would this potentially keep the supermarket duopoly more strengthened? Because if it makes it like really expensive, it lifts the wages, it's going to make it hard for some of these other operators to employ people, isn't it? It's going to put them out of business.
No, I think it would be on the opposite, actually, because what we see is some of the big big providers in that the duopoly can be very ruthless with their wages, particularly in the foodstuffs group and the New World. What this means is that operators can come in and know that they're not being undercut when they're attracting good talent with good wages, and they can focus on providing a good service and winning customers on that
basis. That makes no sense, Ben.
No, it makes no sense. It makes a lot of sense, Heather.
I don't follow your logic at all. Hold on a tick, okay? Let's say I wanted to set up a supermarket, okay? And I wanted to come in as a third player. But, you know, I'm small. I'm not going to be able to go toe-to-toe with the big guys just yet. So I'm going to get a foothold, let's say, in Wellington, and I'm going to employ some people. Now you've just pushed my wage bill up so much. How am I going to compete?
I would say that people wanting to come in and compete, what we need to do is we need to disincentivize employers make profiteering off low wages. So at the moment, when you've got a big New World or a Pack and Save that's established and paying the minimum wage, they're squishing out and preventing sort of competition because they're keeping wages low, they're maintaining an artificial sort of profit margin. If we've got things where we can set those sort of standards, then if people want to come in and they think they've got a service to offer and they're wanting to bring pay the rates to attract the talent to sort of bring people across, they can do that without being undercut or being at a disadvantage from really ruthless employers. We need to benefit good employers here. You know, if people are willing to do what Countdown's done and pay a living wage, they can't be then getting undercut by the person across the road who's not doing that.
Okay, so Ben, what happens now? Do you have to fill out like a FPA application form that you file to Michael Wood, or what happens?
There's a process where you've got to get either 10% of the industry or 1,000 signatures. We've got already over 1,000 signatures that are ready to go, but we want to be following through to make sure that we're showing that there is real support from the supermarket industry.
Right.
We know there is, but we're not rushing things. We're doing it properly. What's important is New Zealand sees that this is a tool that we can use to get our supermarket workers, essential workers that keep us all fed. Let's get them a living wage. Let's do it now. Let's do this process. It's something we should all come behind.
Good on you, Ben. Hey, thank you for that, mate. Ben Peterson, First Union Acting Retail and Finance Secretary.